Last year we had Joel Singleton come and he presented Imparting Faith, which is an approach to sharing the faith of the parents with the children. And we have really tried to make this a priority. Here at Sunset, we have done a number of things to try to improve the ability to teach our children. We have a tremendous children's curriculum program that is underway and has already been bearing fruit in some remarkable ways. We have a number of activities throughout the year out at Happy Hollow, at the Bible Camp, with our Vacation Bible School, with our time up in Kansas City every year when our young people go and participate in those activities with other young people from all around the country. We have a wonderful youth group here at Sunset that I can honestly say I don't know any youth group that is better than the one we have here. A remarkable group of young people. We're very appreciative for all the volunteers and for our youth minister. So we're doing a lot, but we have continually emphasized the truth that it is not up to the church to impart faith to our children. That responsibility lies squarely within the home. Now, I know that anytime we do a lesson on child rearing, that there is always an element of guilt that falls upon anyone who is parented. And I don't care whether you have been relatively successful or not, every parent to some degree feels guilt about what they failed to do or what they should have done in raising their own children, and that's just part of it. But rather than avoid things that might make us sometimes feel a little bit bad about the job that we've done, our goal and our desire is to see the next generation do a better job than we did. So if these kinds of lessons make you feel guilty, just put up with it, because we're doing it to be a blessing to future generations. You know, all the efforts that are made to help our children grow up to know the Lord and love the Lord and be part of His church and be faithful in their lives are simply a reflection of what Jesus did in His own ministry. When He brought the little children unto Him, and when He placed His hands on them, and when He prayed for them. And I've often thought of the blessing that must have been. I don't know how many children received that special blessing from Jesus, but I just can imagine that throughout their lifetime, as they had children and as they had grandchildren, to be able to relate to your own children and grandchildren the time that Jesus held you in His lap, and when He gave me a hug, and when He prayed for me, to be able to tell that story, what a tremendous blessing that was for all those children who were there. Jesus is still in the business of blessing children. And His entreaty is still being made today through Christian fathers and Christian mothers and through all those who influence the lives of children, grandparents and teachers and Christians. The same message goes out, "Let the little children come unto Me." Vicki and I started our family back in 1979 with our firstborn child, and then we were blessed with two other daughters, three girls in all. And we received all kinds of friendly advice during those early years, and I'm sure any of you that have had children received the very same advice that we did. Probably the most commonly heard thing, we heard it over and over again, was enjoy them while you can. They'll be gone before you know it. Now, we have been through all the high school graduations. We've been through all the college graduations. We've been through all the weddings. And we have entered the grandparent phase of life. And the years have absolutely flown by. I honestly got tired of people telling me, Enjoy them while you can, because the years are going to fly by. But there were never truer words spoken than those. They were right. Enjoy them while you can. They'll be gone before you know it. And each step of life brings a whole new chapter of activity. And it's never quite the same again. Those early years where you hear young voices running down the halls of your home, then the mature years where you begin to learn to relate to your child as an adult, and then the relationships that are forever changed. It'll never be the same. It may be better, but it'll never be the same. And this morning, I simply want to share with you a word from the Lord in this matter. And I think that as we look at several passages here, and I'll be alluding to them more than going to them verse by verse, the single message, I think, that we can garner as we still have an impact on the lives of the young people. They're always at second service, but we have an impact on their lives. Those of you who have children in the home, those of you who have grandchildren, those of you who have special young people in your life that you serve as an uncle or an aunt or a spiritual grandfather or simply a mentor for, the word I want us to see this morning is the word balance in the way we deal with children and the way we help impart faith to them. I believe that's the secret, and I believe through my own experience and my own observation, that is where we usually go wrong. Doing enough for them, but not too much. Giving them what they need, but not what they always want. So easy to say, and so hard to do. And let me begin with the negative, and this is just going to be two things I want to look at. I want to look at what we give them from two aspects. The first is when we give them too much. Don't spoil your children. You've heard it said. That's a cautionary warning given by many folks today. You probably hear that second in line behind enjoy them while you can. They're gone before you know it. Don't spoil your children. I think that here in America especially, that spoiling our children with materialism is one of the greatest dangers we face as parents. Dr. Harvey Karp has written a book that has many Christian principles in it, describing child rearing and offering good, solid advice. And he lists in his book 10 ways to spoil a child. And just see if you recognize these in children that you would classify as a spoiled child. In fact, he defines a spoiled child like this. A spoiled child is one who is demanding, self-centered, and unreasonable. Ever seen children like that? That's a spoiled child. This is how you spoil a child. Making the child the center of the world. Making that child believe that he is the one for whom all others serve and are interested and revolve around. Secondly, he says, ignoring positive behavior. He says, often there are times when we can catch our children doing good things and commend them for those good things, but many parents just let that slide. As long as their children are doing good things, they receive no attention. And then the opposite side of that coin, and the third reason, or the third way we can spoil children, is by accidentally rewarding negative behavior. If when they do good, they're ignored, then when they begin to whine and fuss and cry, then they get attention, then they are receiving enforcement. That's how I get what I want. That's how I get the attention of my parents, is by whining and crying. Fourthly, failing to put clear limits on your child's behavior. Fifthly, not enforcing rules consistently, making threats that are never carried out. Sixthly, picking fights you cannot win, making hard promises that you can't possibly keep and demands that you can't possibly enforce. Seventh, not holding your child accountable, coming to their defense. And when the teacher gets onto them, being their defender rather than holding them accountable. 8, giving your child gifts for the wrong reasons. And he says there, buying your child a new bike because they've become bored with their other one, or giving them gifts out of guilt. And then 9, giving in to temper tantrums. It's embarrassing when a child throws himself down on the floor. And in order to get past that embarrassing moment, many parents will just give in to whatever it is the child wants. And then lastly, act like a spoiled child yourself and model that behavior. These are ways to raise a child that is spoiled. You know, it's hard in our materialistic world not to give our children all the things that we never got as a child. And I hear parents say that. I don't want my child to have to go through what I had to go through. But let me ask you, in this crowd gathered here today, I'm assuming that most of you, by your age, have had to go through some level of doing without in your child rearing. I didn't have the same kind of toys that our neighbors did. I didn't get a new bike just because the neighbors did. I didn't get a new car. I didn't have anything. I had to work out in the cotton field. Many of you had to work hard jobs, and you had to do without a lot of things, and you understood what it meant to do without. And let me ask you this. Is anyone here who had to do without, were you more harmed by that, or were you more helped by that? I know for a fact that the expectations that were placed upon me and the things that I had to do without, not only did not deprive me, they actually blessed me in the long run. I am a better person today because of things I didn't get. And I can name a lot of people, and you can too, that were overindulged to their detriment. It's hard to be given things materially in abundance and not have ill effects from such gifts. In Proverbs chapter 15, verses 16 and 17, the wise man wrote, "Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fattened calf with hatred." One of the hardest things to do as a parent is to withhold gifts that you are able to give to your children. It's easier to damage a child by giving them too much than it is by giving them too little. In Proverbs chapter 20, again, the wise man says, "An inheritance quickly gained at the beginning will not be blessed at the end." So parents, resist the temptation to spoil your children by giving them everything that you never had as a child. It starts early with their birthdays and with Christmas gifts. And it's important as Christians to resist the temptation also of sheltering your children from hard work. Hard work never hurt anybody. There are valuable lessons that are learned with difficult toil in life. It's all a matter of balance. It's so difficult to achieve. Now, we've looked at what not to give. I want us to turn and look now at what we should give our children. And what we should give is the greatest gift of all. It's not material. It's spiritual. We've talked in the past about that passage, that familiar passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it talks about imparting faith when you get up in the morning and when you lie down in the evening, and as you travel down the road, and it is a hard thing to do to give that level of attention to imparting faith, to be consistent in talking about spiritual things throughout the day's events with a child. Proverbs tells us, train up a child in the way he should go. And that word train is not an easy word either. It's something that involves detailed attention and spending lots of time incorporating spiritual truths into the life of a child. Parenting comes at one of the most inconvenient times in all of our life. You know, if we could just wait and have children when we were retired, wouldn't it be so much better? I mean, we would have all that wisdom, and we would have all that extra time. Now, we wouldn't have the energy, but a lot of things we would have. It is difficult at the busy time of life when our career is taking off and we're trying to get that new home and we're trying to acquire all these things. It's difficult then for children to enter the equation. We're tempted to say, I'll get to the kids later. I've got to take care of all these other things first. Now, I am grateful for a good wife who kept me on track in this department. It was hard for me not to want to let church activities override school activities. But Vicki insisted, no, if there's a concert, we're going to be at the concert. If there's a ball game, we're going to be at the ball game. And we're going to be there, and we're going to support our children at every event all the way through. I have no regrets looking back for all those activities and events that we went to. They were innumerable. And all the different things that were meaningful to my children. And there is a deep need in our children to have the support of the parent. It starts when they're little. One of the very first things that children will say is watch me. And whatever it is they're doing, they want you to watch them. And that never goes away. And they want you to support them and to see them and to be there to provide the encouragement that they desperately need. Being with them is how we leave our imprint upon their lives. Because in being with them and supporting them, we're doing for them what God does for us as He watches over us and as He loves us and as He picks us up when we fall and helps us to move on beyond our failures. Modeling Christian behavior. You can't do that at a distance. You can't do that just with words. I never remember my own father ever talking to me and trying to teach me in words how important it was to care for elderly members in our church family. But I vividly remember the many times we would go out to the farm and we would gather the produce, the squash and the black-eyed peas and the cantaloupe, and we would sack them up, and he would count off all the names of the widows at church, and we would have a different sack for each one of them, and we would get all the produce and put it in the back of the pickup, and we would go by, and he would say to my brother, you know, you boys carry the sack, and we'll go up, and let's knock on the door, and we would deliver the produce to those individuals. He never said it to me, but I learned the value by what he did when I was with him. That's how those things were imparted. And so daddies and mothers and those of you that are involved in raising your children or your grandchildren, whatever it is you hope to do someday with your children, do it today. I'm grateful, as I said at the beginning, for a congregation like Sunset, where we do have a great youth minister and a great youth group and wonderful teachers and camps and retreats and VBS and all the things we do to spiritually enrich the lives of our children. But there are some things in life that are non-transferable. Do you know if you buy a plane ticket and then find out you've got some other obligation, I can't just go and hand that ticket to someone else and say, here, you take the plane ticket and you go. Plane tickets are non-transferable. And the responsibility for teaching your children about God is a non-transferable responsibility. It belongs squarely with the parents by divine decree. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. And yet children grow up in Christian homes. And I know this is true because I've heard children say it and I've heard parents confess it. They grow up in Christian homes rarely hearing the Word of God ever discussed. rarely hearing the Word of God ever read in a family gathering. Rarely hearing the voices of their parents engaged in prayer. Never engaging in serious spiritual conversations around the table. And then we wonder why that high percentage of our young people drift away after they've left home. I still remember a young man back when we lived in Memphis who grew up in one of the roughest homes you can imagine. His mother worked for a time as a stripper at one of the strip joints there in Memphis. But he had a grandmother, and that grandmother took care of him many, many days. In fact, there were times he would go and live with the grandmother for months at a time. And he grew up to be one of the finest young Christian men I think I've ever known. And I asked him one time, I said, "How in the world did you manage to hold on to your faith through all those difficult years growing up? Absentee father, absentee mother." He said, "You know what my grandmother did?" He said, "She read me Bible stories." He said, to this day, I can tell you every story in the Bible almost because my grandmother read to me and read to me and read to me from not just storybooks, but Bible storybooks. And he said, I think that's what made the difference in my life. What kind of balance are you providing for the young people in your life? One father said, "If I could do it all over again, I would love my wife more in front of my children. I would spend more delightful times with my children, laughing more and being less serious. I would listen more, even to the youngest members of the family. I would be more honest. I would quit pretending to be perfect, and I would ask for forgiveness more often. I would change my prayer life. I would pray more frequently and more openly and more honestly. I would do more with my children than I did. I would be more encouraging and I would praise more. I would share my God more intimately and talk about my faith with my children more personally. And I would point them more frequently toward God." You know, I've come to learn in life what every parent eventually learns, that success is seen not in material success in your children, but in spiritual success. That's what really matters in the end. This morning, I hope that we can all renew our efforts to be a blessing to the children of this congregation. And as we close this morning, we want to have an opportunity, as we always do, to pray for special needs that may exist within this church family. And also, as always, an opportunity for anyone who is ready to respond to the invitation call of Jesus to do so. If you need to come, we invite you to do that while we stand and while we sing.